Well, please do turn in your Bibles to the passage that we read earlier. And I begin with this question. Why do we as Christians believe what we believe? On what authority? That is a very, very, very important question. And the answer that we give as Presbyterians, as evangelical and reformed Christians, is that we believe what we believe because of the Bible. But why give that answer? And on what basis? Do we believe the Bible because our tradition tells us to believe the Bible? Because our parents taught us to believe the Bible? Because the minister says you should believe the Bible? Surely there needs to be more to it than that. Let me ask you to use your imagination for a moment. Imagine for a moment that we set the Bible to the side. What would happen? So imagine just for a moment we dispense with the Bible. We don't need the Bible. We'll get rid of the Bible. We'll forget about the Bible. What would happen? Well, there would arise a new authority. There would not be a vacuum. Something else would come to replace the Bible. What would that be? It might be reason. What people conclude is a reasonable thing to believe. Or it might be the majority opinion. Or it might be the latest fashionable or politically correct idea. But you see, I'm sure you'll agree with me that all of those things are like shifting sands that you would see if you go down to the beach at Kilkeel. Or they are just a bit like the branches that were blowing wildly in the wind the other night, blowing this direction and then blowing that direction. You see, ideas would come and go. The consensus today would not be the consensus tomorrow. Whoever shouted the loudest or had the most people to back him or her at a particular moment would carry the day. And confusion and muddle and uncertainty would be the order of the day. And some would be very happy with that. You might be sitting there thinking, goodness, that sounds awful. But actually, there would be people in our society and people in our world who would be very, very happy with that. Make no mistake about it. There are those in our society who have absolutely no time for God, no time for Jesus, no time for the gospel. In fact, they are utterly opposed to anything remotely to do with the Christian gospel and the message of the Holy Scriptures. And it is not an overstatement to say that there are people who actually hate it. They hate it. They hate what the Bible stands for. They cannot stand it, and they will oppose it, and they will seek to do all that they can to undermine it because they want rid of it. So it is absolutely imperative that we have an authority, and a good one at that. And we do have an authority contained in the 66 books of the Holy Scriptures. But here's the question. Why believe the Bible? Why believe the Bible? Is it not sort of kind of like a circular argument to sort of say, well, I believe the Bible because the Bible says that I should believe the Bible. Is that what we're saying? Well, actually, it's not strictly correct to say that's what we're saying at all. So let me mention a couple of really important things. First of all, I want you to consider this morning the view that Jesus Christ had of the Bible. And a famous Christian leader, James Montgomery Boyce, summed it up nicely when he said this. He said, Jesus so identified himself with Scripture and so interpreted his ministry in the light of Scripture that it is impossible to weaken the authority of one without at the same time weakening the authority of the other. Why do we have such a high view of the Bible? In a nutshell, because Jesus had a high view of the Bible. He really did. And I was talking to the boys and girls about loving the Word of God. Remember Jesus as a little boy, a little 12-year-old boy? He loved the Word of God. He loved his Old Testament. And one day he was found in the temple talking to the Hygieans, you might say. And they were amazed at how much he knew of his Bible. Jesus had a very high view of the Bible. And that is one of the reasons why you and I should have a high view of the Bible. If we cherish Jesus at all, we will want to cherish his views. And the second thing is, not only the view that Jesus had of the Bible, the view that the Bible has of the Bible. And this brings us to, for example, this text today, which really is our text, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God. In many ways, that's the essence of what I want to speak about just for a moment or two. Those few little words, men spoke from God. What does that actually mean? Well, we're told here that no prophecy, verse 20, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Now, of course, and we can read this sometimes in the Old Testament, sometimes you had people who stood up and said, oh, this is what God says, but they were false prophets. And it usually became perfectly clear that they weren't of God because the very thing that they said was going to happen didn't happen at all, and that's a sure mark of a false prophet. But you see, a true prophet is led of God. True prophecy does not originate in the heart of a man and he comes up with some bright idea and he says, oh, I think I'll write this down. They didn't think it up themselves, these prophets. They were divinely inspired. The Holy Spirit spoke to and through them to deliver the truth of God to his people. And there is, of course, a mystery to this. But let's try and think about this a little bit more. Men spoke. Think about that for a moment. Men spoke. Real men. Across the ages. Men like Moses. And David. And Isaiah. And Hosea. And Amos. And Joel. Men like Peter. And John. And Paul. And what we understand in the Christian church is this. That these men spoke. They were all different types of people. They had different temperaments. They had different personalities. They lived in different circumstances. And they spoke. And they spoke freely. They weren't robots. Nor were they sitting, if you can imagine somebody, as it were, sitting at a typewriter and kind of getting a message dictated into their heads and they were typing it out on a piece of paper or parchment. That's not how we understand it at all. They spoke freely and they wrote down freely what the Lord God Almighty had inspired them to write. And that explains, you see, why you get, when you read through the Bible, all these different styles and genres and types of literature. Because they're different types of people with different personalities. Even in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you see this coming out very clearly. The different personalities of the people coming out. One writer, an old bishop, a man called Handley Mull, a very fine man of God. Let me read you what it says there. It says, he who chose the writers of the Holy Scriptures many men scattered over many ages. Actually, about 40 men over 1,500 years. Use them each in his surroundings and in his character, yet so as to harmonize them all in the book, which while many is one. He, that's God, used them with the sovereign skill of deity. And that skillful use meant that he used their whole being, which he had made, and their whole circumstances, which he had ordered. Men spoke from God. Men were speaking, but they were led by God. The phrase that Peter uses, he says they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting little word that's used there. It's the same word that's actually used in Acts 27 and verse 15 and verse 17, where there's a lovely little picture painted of the wind driving a ship along in the sea. You might say, and some have used this phrase, that these men were ferried by the Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And another verse that we need to bear in mind in all of this is the famous verse, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. John 3 and 16 is arguably the most famous verse in the Bible. Well, here's another 3:16 that ought to be memorized and learned. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired of God. Sometimes Christians, and indeed the late John Stott was one of them, spoke of the double authorship of the Bible. And whilst we can use a phrase like that, we also need to understand that as these men spoke, they were, if you like, overseen and superintended by the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me earth this for you folks. What Peter is saying here is, he's saying, my dear, dear friends, there are awful things happening around you. Some of you are about to die. I'm probably going to die for my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is persecution happening and things are maybe going to go from bad to worse. But I want you to keep your head. I want you to work out your calling and your election. I want you to stand firm on the teachings of the Word of God. And folks, the Word of God still lives. That Word lives for us today. We are living in difficult days. We are living in a time in the history of our world when, on the one hand, there are people in our own nation who are saying, get rid of the Bible, forget about it. It's a book of yesterday. And on the other hand, we're living in a world where, without saying too much, we're all a little bit concerned and worried, to put it mildly, by what happened in Paris, because it could happen in any British or Irish city or town. And we don't know what the future will bring. We're living in difficult days. But what do? We stand firm upon the teachings that have been handed down to us concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we walk away from our Bibles, we will actually contribute to the confusion and the muddle of this world in which we live. I'm sure many of you know this. 60 years ago, it's a very famous illustration. 60 years ago, June 1953, at the coronation of our Queen. Now, some of you will know this if you know your history. What happened as part of that coronation? There's a really interesting thing happened in the context of today. She was presented with a copy of the Holy Scriptures. And here are the words, the precise words that were said to her. Our gracious Queen, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. Here is wisdom. Here is the royal law, the lively oracles of God. The most valuable thing this world affords. Folks, 60 years can make a mighty difference. There are many in our nation who don't believe that for a moment. Let's not be amongst that number. Let us stand firm upon the word of God. Let me ask you today, do you believe it? Do you believe that when we come to the scriptures, do you believe that the word of God is the most valuable thing that this world affords? It's a big statement. Do you believe it? Many do not. Our nation has a choice. Does it believe the Bible to be the word of God, or does it not? It is no exaggeration to say that everything depends upon that choice. I fully grant that many have made their choice, and the answer is, we say no to the word of God. We don't want it. We've come up with another authority. We don't want the Bible. And again, let me just say, what happens when you dispense with the Bible? What happens? Well, there's a whole lot of things happens, and I don't have time to deal with it today. But if you and if we, either as individuals or as a nation, take our Bible and we set it on a shelf and we say we don't need that anymore, you will do a whole lot of things. You will undermine the preaching of the Word of God. You will undercut the teaching of Scripture, making it irrelevant. You will weaken the faith of thousands. You will discourage the reading of the Bible. You will obscure Jesus Christ, who stands at the very center of the Word of God. And you will create a new order where every man does what is right in his own eyes. And there will not be one body who can stand up and say, that's wrong. Because the reply will be, why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? Folks, we stand on the word of God, or we stand on the sinking sands of confusion. Understand this. If we, as a nation, as a people, reject the Bible as the living word of God, we will have nothing either to live by or to die by. Choose this day what you're going to do for you and your family, and your little children growing up. Think about them. Think about your little children. Think about your grandchildren. What kind of society are they going to live in? Come back to the Bible. Cherish the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. And go out from this place and encourage, in as nice a way as possible, people who maybe don't come to church that much. Say to them, please come back. Please do not walk away from the Word of God. Come and join with us in standing together for the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's plenty of people out there who have no time for the gospel. And we need to stand together in this age in which we live. You can either follow the wisdom of the world, or you can follow the wisdom of Holy Scripture, which says these are the Holy Scriptures which will make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but in the days in which we live, and the days are evil and uncertain, I'm glad to have an authority in the Word of God. An authority which will help me to live well through the ups and downs of life. And an authority which will help me, when my day comes, to die well resting alone in Jesus Christ. So folks, it's a really, really big subject. The Apostle Peter says, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And folks, you have the copy of that in your house. May this week it not sit too long on our shelves, unopened. May we open it, may we read it, may we love it, and may we live it out. And all to the glory of Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We're going to have a short prayer. Maybe the singers can come up during that. And then we're going to close our service. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to believe it, to cherish it, to love it, to obey it, to live it, even though many might ridicule us. Lord, give us the grace to stand upon your word. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.